Do you remember the last time you were angry? I mean, really mad. And let me just ask, did any part of that bring about the righteousness of God into that situation? I don't know. Let's look at that. Hi, I'm Dr. Doug Cowan, Director of Ministry here at KAXL. And for the next 30 minutes, we are going to look at the prayer requests that have come into our station at our prayer room at our KAXL website. We're going to enjoy some great music, and let's talk about anger.
You broke my chains of sin and shame, and you covered me with grace.
And you mend my life with your holy fire. You cover me with grace.
And you are the hand that reaches out to save. And I am set free, oh, 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 I am set free, oh, 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 it is for freedom that I am set free. You broke my chains of sin.
Been reading through Isaiah, and here are some words of encouragement and comfort from the prophet from chapter 51. Listen to me, you who pursue righteousness and who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were cut, from the quarry from which you were hewn. The Lord will surely comfort Zion and will look with compassion on her ruins. He will make her deserts like Eden, her wastelands like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and the sound of singing. So lift up your eyes to heaven. Look to the earth beneath. Take notice. Though the heavens will vanish like smoke and the earth will wear out like a garment, my salvation will last forever, and my righteousness will never fail. Hear me, all of you who know what is right, all of you who have my law in your hearts. Do not fear the reproach of men or be terrified by their insults. Remember, my righteousness will last forever, and my salvation through all generations. The ransomed of the Lord will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. It is I, even I, who comforts you. Who are you that you fear mortal men? I stretched out the heavens. I laid the foundations of the earth. Listen, the cowering prisoners will soon be set free. They will not die in their dungeons, nor will they lack bread. For I am the Lord your God. The Lord Almighty is his name. I have set the heavens in place. I have laid the foundations of the earth, and you are my people.
You dwell in the songs that we are singing. Rise into the heavens, rise into your heart. And I'm restless.
spend some time in prayer together. We're going to look at the prayer requests that have come into the prayer room at our website, kaxl.com. But also, I would ask that you would just consider setting aside some time. Pray for us here at the radio station. This is a ministry that's expanding. We really do connect with thousands of people in the course of a week, and we experience some technical difficulties at our transmitter, our broadcast tower and equipment over this past week or so, and we just need to get that all worked out. Also, we have some opportunities for expansion, and we just need you to pray about this. God's going to need to intervene in order to pull this off. And so we would just ask that you would pray for us here at the radio station. Things are good. They're good opportunities, but it's going to take some heavy lifting to make them happen. Okay, so as you pray for us, remember these other prayer requests too. Let's pray for them. Someone has written in asking for prayer for their son, who they described as depressed and lonely, and that they are very worried about him. He's starting to lose his faith, this writer says, so please pray. And we know there are a lot of people who go through depression, a lot of people who go through depression. Let's just pray for this situation. Father, you know who this person is. You know how painful human depression and loneliness can be. And we just ask that you would intervene here in this situation, and also ask that you would intervene for all of our brothers and sisters who are experiencing this, experiencing depression, experiencing loneliness. And we just pray for them. Father, would you just reach down right now and hug them with your Holy Spirit. Let them know that you are right there with them. We pray that you would remove from them any spirit of fear. We pray that you would remove any spirit of heaviness from their life, that you would bring healing to their mind, to their soul, their memories, their wounds, that you would just restore them to health from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet. Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And here's another prayer request from one of our listeners that says simply, pray for my husband and my sons to have a heart for Jesus and for God to show his glory. What a great request. And yes, Father, we just come to you and we pray for every family out there. And we know that many families, there are some members of that family who really don't know you. Or if they do know you, they don't act like it. They're kind of what Paul calls a carnal Christian, worldly. Father, please intervene. May your Holy Spirit come into homes with power and change people, even change Christians. Change us so that we will serve your kingdom, your throne, your will. We are your people and citizens of the kingdom of heaven, ambassadors for your kingdom, sons and daughters of the Most High King of heaven. Father, help us to live like that every minute of every day, that your kingdom would advance wherever our feet go. So, Father, I pray for this man, these men, to have a heart for Jesus. And I pray for everybody listening that you would just give us a passion for your kingdom, a passion for the message of amnesty that you are offering to people, that for a limited time you will forgive their sins and adopt them as sons and daughters of your kingdom. Lord, give us this passion. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Lord, I come, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Deep. Your grace is more.
is found is where you are. Where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me.
We said we're going to talk a little bit about anger, and we want to do that now. And as we start, we're going to look at what the Bible has to say about anger. But let me just start by acknowledging that there are potentially several different causes of anger in a person. And what we're going to focus on is what the Bible has to say about anger. And the Bible's assumptions about anger are pretty much that it's caused by feeling inconvenienced or feeling out of control or feeling whatever your feelings are. So the Bible approaches it as purely in terms of it being a spiritual issue or a soul emotion kind of issue, and looks at it from that perspective, from God's perspective. Let me just acknowledge that there are other causes of anger. There are medical issues that can cause anger. It can be the medication that you are taking that can be causing anger, or the medication that you ought to be taking. It can be from things like a head injury can cause anger, a brain injury of some kind. It can be from a seizure disorder. In that emotional trauma kind of place where the emotions and brain function intersect, it can be something like post-traumatic stress disorder or some kind of other kind of trauma that people have lived through. It can be from depression and so on. These can be those neurobiological, medical kinds of causes for anger. And those, you need to see a professional about those. You need to go see a doctor. You need to go see a therapist. You need to go see a psychologist. You need to go see somebody who can help you pinpoint if those are the issues. For some people, it's the start of a brain tumor. For some people, it is, you know, other kind of medical things. You need to go find this out if it just came on, you know, out of the blue. And if this is something that people are going to say, this is your character trait. If you think you can come before God and in front of people and say, this is just how I am, you just have to take me out, you know, whatever, that this is just sort of a characteristic of who you are, now we need to talk about this. So let me start this part of the conversation by saying something that won't be very popular with some of you listening, but you need to hear it anyway. We act like who our Father is. Jesus points this out when he talks about some people who are children of the living God, and other people he would point at and say, you are children of your father, the devil. All right, now, the biblical perspective is that we act like who our Father is. Now, do we do that perfectly? No. But this is the first place you've got to come to consider this. If your life is defined by anger, if you have people in your home cowering in the corner because of your anger, you are not acting as if your father is God. You are acting as if your father is the devil. So let's just start there now that I've made you mad already. Look, is it true that God can get angry? Of course. But what is it that God gets angry at? He gets angry at human disobedience or rebellion. He gets angry at human idolatry. We see in passages like Isaiah 5 where there's a warning. We have all of these woes, W-O-E-S, woes, warnings against, from the prophet Isaiah, against people who are, for instance, greedy businessmen or partiers who have no regard for the Lord and mock him openly, or those who call evil good and good evil, those who are wise in their own eyes, and those who pervert justice. You know, the prophet's warning those people, hey, God is going to get mad at you guys, and you're not going to like what's going to happen to you. Isaiah chapter 5. So there's a warning there. That's just one of many that we see in the Old Testament, for example. We do see Jesus cleansing the temple. He was angry. He does all of this, you know, what we would look at as, wow, you know, it's like violent stuff that he's chasing people out of the temple. We can have times of prophetic anger and not be sinning. But let's be honest. I mean, that's pretty rare. I mean, really, if you go over to Haiti and you see poverty and injustice and people dying from stupid stuff they should never be dying from in places like Haiti or Guatemala or wherever, Mexico or whatever else. Yeah, and you get angry about a kid dying because he got a cold or an ear infection. Yeah, you should be angry about that. That's injustice. We should be angry about that. And we should do something positive about it. So this isn't the kind of anger we're talking about here. We're talking about anger that ruins your life or ruins other people's lives. Not the kind of anger that sets prisoners free or that ends injustice. That's prophetic anger. When we're angry, it's usually because we have expectations that were not met, and so we get hurt. And when we get emotionally hurt, we typically turn that into anger. It's pretty common. Sometimes we get angry because we've been afraid and we've had an adrenaline dump, and that whole fight or flight system gets kicked on. And when we figure out that we're kind of okay, often we get angry. Often we get angry as humans because of sin. Sin in our lives, especially pride or exalting yourself above others. This is leads to anger, and it's sin. And that's more common in why we can get angry. James chapter 1 talks about this, where James writes, everyone should be quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to become angry. For a man's anger does not bring about the righteousness of God or the righteous life that God desires in his people. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and so on. So there's an assumption about, you know, what anger does to us. It keeps us from living the kind of life God wants for his children to live, the kind of life that Paul would define as being worthy of the calling that we have received. Anger keeps us from living that kind of life. Therefore, we need to get rid of some of the things that cause anger in our life. And James describes those things as moral filth or evil that is so prevalent around us. We need to get rid of those things. Now, you know, Paul addresses the whole idea of anger, the whole problem of anger in Ephesians, for example. And in Ephesians, he's trying to tell us, as Christians, how we are to live our life. He's not talking to people who aren't Christians. He's talking to people who are Christians. And he says this. Chapter 4 of Ephesians would be a great chapter to really, really, really learn. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. Then he quotes from Psalm chapter 4. He says, in your anger, do not sin. Okay, so there's that quote that he's throwing out. He says, that's important for Christians to understand. In your anger, do not sin. Then he adds, do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. All right, so whatever it is, you know, we need to get it resolved. And if we don't, he says, verse 27, and do not give the devil a foothold or real estate or ground or a place in your life. It's because one of the ways that Satan attacks our life is through anger. Anger that's not prophetic or righteous or godly anger. Anger that's just because we're being stupid. Anger that's because we are wanting stuff we can't have, or we're feeling inconvenienced, or the fight or flight thing kicked on, or whatever it might be. And that this kind of unresolved anger that goes on day after day after day after day gives the devil a foothold, a place in our life. And we don't want to be given the devil any of our real estate. Jesus died to redeem us. We don't want to be going back in the wrong direction here. What he's saying, part of this is for those of you who think we're supposed to just excuse your character trait of anger, he's saying, hey, you know what? You're really acting like the devil when you do that. And you're giving the devil a place in your life. This is not how Jesus acted. It's not how our Father in heaven acts. It's not how he wants his children to act. He gave us the Holy Spirit so that we could change. Don't give the devil a foothold in your life. Instead, hey, be filled with the Holy Spirit. There is a lot about that in Ephesians chapters 3, 4, and 5. What happens when we're filled with the Holy Spirit? And it's an entirely different lifestyle than a lifestyle of being angry. Now, another thing we need to understand is that when we're angry, we say things that hurt other people. Our anger wounds other people. It wounds our spouse. It wounds our children. It wounds our neighbors. It wounds our friends. It's our anger that does this, and it does it through our words primarily, not exclusively, but primarily. Our words can be like swords that wound other people for years. Please accept the power of words to either heal or hurt. What is it, a proverb that says that, you know, life and death are in the power of words, and we have to be careful what we say. So Paul even says this again. It's in that fourth chapter of Ephesians where he says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs so it can benefit those who listen. Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. None. Zero. It's not a suggestion. This is how God wants his people to live. We are ambassadors for the kingdom of God. We represent our Father in heaven, who is God Almighty. And all that we do or all that we say represents the kingdom of heaven. So we have to grow to become more and more like our Father in heaven, who is perfect, who is loving, who is holy. So we want to be more and more like him. All right, so whatever excuse it is that you have for your anger, please just go ahead and throw it in the trash can. And instead, let's start moving our lives to become more and more like Jesus, to be filled with peace and life, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and to act accordingly.
Hi, this is Amber. For years, I introduced Bakersfield to Adventures and Odyssey episodes, and now I get to introduce you to a great new way to strengthen your family and reach into your neighborhood. KAXL is teaming up with my dad, Dr. Doug Cowan, to provide marriage seminars and parenting classes to local churches like yours. We want to help to build your church and strengthen your family, and it's free. To find out more, call the station or go to KAXL.com.